The OCD and Anxiety Podcast by Robert James Coaching. Hello and welcome to the OCD and Anxiety Podcast, where we explore how to have a more positive relationship with anxiety disorders, taking back control so that you can start living the life you choose and not the one chosen by your fears. Hello and welcome to episode 384. I hope that you are doing very well today. If you are struggling with OCD or anxiety and you would like to get some help with that, well, you can get a free session with me. To get that, you can head over to my website, robertjamescoaching.com. You can book in for that free session directly, or if you prefer, you can send me a message and let me know about what you're struggling with. In today's podcast, I'm going to be talking about whether some people are a bit more prone to OCD and obsessive thinking and why that might be. If you find the podcast helpful, it would be great if you could follow and like on Instagram. Also, if you'd like to follow the podcast on YouTube, you can do that as well. There's various different things you can sign up for. There's the Facebook group. There's also Patreon if you're interested in that. There's a link in the show notes. And there we go. Really hope that you enjoy. If you have any questions, of course, do please let me know. And off we go. Here's a quote by Gabor Mate to get us started. In the real world, there is no nature versus nurture argument, only an infinitely complex and moment-by-moment interaction between genetic and environmental effects. And this is an interesting quote to get us started, because obviously today we're talking about whether some people are a bit more prone towards obsessive thinking and why actually that might be. Why is it that some people do seem to be more prone to struggling with OCD and rumination and, you know, kind of getting stuck in their thoughts and fears, whereas other people just seem to be much more naturally relaxed, much more able to get on with things and the struggles of life without overthinking or overanalyzing things as much. And, you know, of course, if you do struggle with OCD, it may at times feel like, you know, that we kind of feel a bit envious or jealous of people who are able to go through life like that, because wouldn't that be nice to be able to just put OCD down, you know, and not be the kind of person that does have a tendency towards overthinking. And, you know, even for people who've really learned how to manage OCD, to quieten their nervous system down, you know, there's still that kind of slight fear that, what if I take a misstep again? And what if OCD starts coming back in and I start making mistakes? And, you know, I think once you've experienced something like OCD, it's hard to forget how difficult it was when you were really struggling with it. You know, maybe you're still struggling with it today, and so you're experiencing it that day in, day out. And of course, it's very, very difficult to deal with. So, yeah, I think trying to kind of understand where OCD is coming from, why it is that certain people do actually seem to have a predisposition towards it, is important in kind of developing a helpful story for you moving forward. Hopefully a story of positivity, one that involves you recognizing your struggles up until this point, but also recognizing that, you know, you're not trapped. OCD likes to make us feel that we're trapped, and, you know, we're not. This is an illusion of the OCD. You know, we can actually start to tell ourselves a better story about it, that although, yes, perhaps we are more prone to overthinking, to rumination, to getting lost in our thoughts, performing physical compulsions because of our intense emotions, all of these things that you might be doing. You know, just because you've been doing that for, you know, maybe a number of years even, it doesn't mean that you can't change that story. You know, it doesn't mean that you are stuck with the OCD and stuck with the experience of it. actually, at any point, you can really begin to change that story. But part of it is just recognizing that some people, it's thought, do have genes that are, you know, have been passed on that are more likely to result in you worrying, being anxious, noticing fearful or difficult things in your environment more readily than somebody who doesn't struggle. And the thing is, though, with genes is we have this thing called epigenetics. Epigenetics is this idea that your genes can be turned on or switched off depending upon the environment that you're in and, you know, the kind of things that are happening to you on a day-to-day basis. And the interesting idea with that is actually, of course, this kind of gene that you may have that is kind of, you know, the maybe you could call it the neurotic gene or, you know, a kind of gene that does make it more likely that you're going to worry, obsess, all of that kind of stuff. The interesting thing is that actually that can be changed over time, you know, through your doing exposure work, through, you know, changing your environmental factors to a certain degree, through learning how to manage your OCD better. Perhaps you can actually learn to change that gene expression to a certain extent. Now, I'm not saying that's an absolute. Of course, I'm not a scientist, so I don't know all the ins and outs of epigenetics, but certainly it's very interesting that you're able to switch those genes on according to your environment or actually switch them off again and to have a different experience. And I think this is actually very, very hopeful because if you've been struggling, you know, with OCD for a long time, we all know what it's like. It's really difficult. You do feel that you're in this trap. You do feel that you're not going to be able to get yourself out of that again, that, you know, OCD has taken over. It's been there for so long. It's very stubborn. It doesn't want to move along. You're doing these things, but maybe it's not quite working in the way that you wanted. And it can feel that it's always going to be there. But actually, you know, my experience is that that isn't actually true through whatever mechanism it is, whether that's partly to do with epigenetics, maybe that's to do with habit formation, you know, maybe that's to do with cognitive structures changing, maybe it's to do with getting more in touch with the body. It's hard to say as an exact science what is going on, but we do know with time that you're able to change things. I think neuroplasticity certainly has a big effect on that. So neuroplasticity is the idea that at any age, at any point in your life, by choosing to focus your attention in a different way and learn new habits, well, you can actually physically change structures in your brain. You can actually learn to make yourself more emotionally resilient. You can teach yourself to live more in the present and to let go of your unhelpful thoughts a lot more. And again, that's incredibly hopeful. So, you know, it's important to recognize that, you know, most probably there is a kind of nature part to OCD, that we do inherit certain genes. Those genes can make it more likely that we will be an anxious person. But it's not just that. It's also the place in which we grew up. You know, if you grew up in a house where there was a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety-inducing situations, perhaps you were even in a house where you were experiencing trauma on a regular basis, perhaps there was violence happening or you felt unsafe a lot of the time. All of these things can, of course, contribute to you, you know, developing a nervous system that is very sensitive, very anxious. And as you grow up, of course, it makes sense that, you know, you could then develop an anxiety disorder. And, you know, that environmental, those kind of environmental factors are very, very common. And of course, I think they do have a big influence when it comes to OCD. So you have this kind of combination. It isn't just one thing, in my opinion. It's a combination of the genetic factors, also the environment that you were in as a young person and that you're in today as well. And also, of course, this idea of epigenetics and, you know, whether certain genes are being switched on or turned off because of different factors in your environment. So when you look at it from that perspective, you know, OCD becomes a bit more interesting, I think. It isn't just this static thing that is there and is always going to be there. Actually, you know, it's something that is massively influenced by the environment, by what you're doing on a day-to-day basis. And I think it can give us hope. Unfortunately, with OCD, a lot of the time, we end up feeling a sense of hopelessness. And I certainly was there myself for a long time with OCD, believing I couldn't move forward, believing that that was it, that OCD had taken over my life. And, you know, I wasn't going to get out of this trap. And it's just not true. And I think recognizing some of these things, that there is a big nurture component to OCD. And fortunately, by learning how to nurture yourself in a different way moving forward, by being more willing to do exposure work, for example, through learning about acceptance, through acceptance commitment therapy, we can really learn to have a different experience of OCD and our obsessions and worries. So I think it's a hopeful message. I really hope that you enjoyed that one. If you have any questions at all about anything that I've spoken about today, do please feel free to let me know. And I will see you next time. Just a quick reminder that if you want to get a free session, all you need to do to get that is to head over to my website, www.robertjamescoaching.com. And there you can leave me a message and we can arrange the free session. And now just a quick reminder of my disclaimer. Any information that you view on my website, Instagram page, Facebook group, or anywhere else online, or any information that you listen to on the podcast, is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be a substitute for actual medical or mental health advice from a doctor, psychologist, or any other medical or mental health professional.